automatic, like looking both ways before crossing the street. He'd not spotted anything suspicious, but now they were in the park, he checked again for anyone who looked out of place. He nodded to himself, then looked at Foxglove. "Let's head on down to Haynes Point. You ever been there?"
"No,"
Lewandowski grunted. "Well, it's where the Anacostia and Potomac rivers meet."
"What's that got to do with it?"
Foxglove protested. "You said it was even more important than usual that we're not overheard," Lewandowski said curtly. "Well, Haynes Point is practically surrounded by water. Makes it real hard for anyone listening in. Now, let's walk." Lewandowski led Foxglove onto the path that ran around the park and was about to turn right towards the point when he stopped and pointed. "The White House is right over there. Couple miles away, maybe less." He grinned. "So near, and yet so far, right?"
"No, not so far," Foxglove said. "Not for what I have in mind."
Since his arrival in Washington in the fall of 1937, Lewandowski's cover occupation had been running a small construction company, AOK Contractors. He had the name painted on the doors of his truck, with a phone number and the words, "Working Harder for You." To his friends and neighbors, he was just like them, a regular blue-collar guy striving to join the ranks of the middle class. Most of the time, he was jovial and easygoing, but he was known to be short-tempered if someone screwed up on the job. The other regulars at his local bar usually called him Joey L., but sometimes, when he got a little overheated, it was Crazy Joe. Lewandowski was his real name, so in a way he was hiding in plain sight. When he was posted to Washington, his superiors had assured him the Americans had no knowledge of his identity, for the simple reason that while the FBI was responsible for catching foreign spies on American soil, the United States possessed virtually no counterintelligence capacity beyond its own shores. So he stuck to his own name and wasn't bothered that his accent, though broadly working-class American, still had an Eastern European edge to it. After all, America was a nation of immigrants. Occasionally someone might ask, "So Lewandowski, huh? What kind of name is that?" And Lewandowski would say, "Polish, where my parents were born." And that was true. His family came from the port city of Gdansk, or Danzig, as it was called in German, which was the language that the majority of its citizens spoke, being of Prussian descent. But there was no need to tell anyone that. The important thing was that Lewandowski looked like a man at home on a building site. He was of average height, a little overweight maybe, but it was more muscle than flab. He had a thick neck, and today his tie was loose and his shirt was open enough to show a sprinkling of curly black chest hairs. All the way along the path, Lewandowski acted the part of the jovial builder Joey L. Only when they reached Haynes Point and it was safe to talk could he be his true self, the experienced intelligence officer, Joseph Lewandowski, whose rank was equivalent to a British or American major. Lewandowski looked at Foxglove, who was leaning on a railing and gazing out over the water. There were clear views across the two rivers to Maryland, or south to the new Washington National Airport on the Virginia shore. There was no one else in sight.
"So what do you have to tell me?"
Foxglove turned to him with a slight smile. It conveyed the superiority felt by someone who knows something important that the other person doesn't. "Churchill is coming to Washington in the next 2 to 3 weeks. The exact dates haven't been confirmed. They won't do that until the last minute." A fractional pause, another smile, and then, "For security reasons." Lewandowski nodded, tried to look as if Foxglove hadn't just dropped a bombshell.
"Why?"
"To plan the invasion of Europe. He's bringing his most senior military commanders.